And we're just excited to celebrate a very special day. This is a day we're commemorating the retiring of our mortgage on this facility. Amen. We're excited about this. And I want you to hear from a couple of special people here today, but then I'm going to be preaching. It's going to be short, folks. You're going to be like, wow, that's the shortest message pastor's ever preached. We'll see. But we're planning to be short in preaching, and then after a time of prayer, but we're going to celebrate with the actual burning of something signifying the mortgage. And then we've got a special confetti send off at the end. There's going to be so much confetti, I hope, in here that they're cleaning it up for months. No, but anyway, we're just going to have a great time. Amen. I want to recognize a couple of individuals that are here today. And first of all, I want to recognize Colleen Boulware, sitting next to my wife there. We're so glad that she's here from Oak Star Bank. Years ago, Ted Hamilton with Oak Star Bank became a friend of this church, and we followed him actually through several different banks and worked with him for years, and they were a blessing over the years to this church. Many of you remember those days, and a few years ago when he was looking at retirement coming, he introduced us to Colleen, and at that time she was commercial loan officer. And we just thankful for the friendship that we've struck up with her and for her blessings and help and assistance for this church. And now she's community bank president there at the location on Battlefield Road. And we are so glad that she's here to celebrate this today. Amen. And if it's all right, I'd like her just to stand and greet you here today. Take this microphone over there, Daniel.
This is kind of dangerous, me with a microphone. No. Good morning. Pastor said, I'm Colleen Boulware with Oak Star Bank. Congratulations on what you guys have been able to accomplish. I hope you are so proud of this day. Couple more things. Typically, how loans are paid off at the bank is through the sale of a property. It is not typical for us to see in the bank for a commercial mortgage to be paid off through principal reductions. So I say that just so you guys get how monumental this moment truly is. So again, on behalf of Oak Star, congratulations, and thank you for letting me be a part of the celebration today.
Well, we're thankful Colleen is here, and you'll hear from my preaching today. I'm just believing that that's not the last loan this church has, but we're going to grow and keep expanding. Amen. Also, I want to recognize a special friend that's here today. This is Rob Clay. Rob, just stand and wave everybody. And we appreciate Rob. Rob and Becky Clay, his wife, are with Clay & Clay Real Estate Team. And 10 years ago when we moved here, we got connected with his wife, Becky, and then him. And they helped us with a few houses and different things over the years. But we just struck up a friendship with them. And I told them earlier this morning, this is one of those friends that we don't get together often. We want to do it more, and we will. But every time we see them, it's just like we're kindred spirits, and we're thankful for this friend that's come today. Rob's a great realtor. His wife is as well. He's a broker, I believe, and helped us with the sale of the property that just kind of culminated all of this. And so I asked him to come and celebrate with us, and he's here today. So God bless Rob and his wife, Becky. There's several others that we have invited. They had conflicts, could not make it today, but they'll probably be popping in for a service here or there over the next few weeks, and we'll recognize them, those that kind of helped us through this process in various ways. Amen. We also have a special guest today. He's no stranger to this church, but Brother Gordon Poe is here, and he is a member of our Council of Elders. And he, along with Reverend Stephen Burns and Reverend Daryl McCoy, are the ones that I answer to. They oversee me, and I'm submitted to them, accountable to them. And I appreciate their love for this church, their love for me and my family. And we're delighted to have Brother Poe here with us. He's going to greet us in just a moment. Brother Stephen Burns was not able to come, but I want to read a note from him. Congratulations on achieving the congregational goal of being mortgage-free. This milestone has the great potential of becoming a defining moment for your bright future. Sister Burns and I celebrate with you and are so godly proud of your unity, focus, and faithfulness to what God is doing in the great city of Springfield, Missouri. May the sweetest presence of our Lord Jesus Christ overshadow this day and confirm his confidence in each of you as you continue being his kingdom ambassadors in his harvest field. With high respect and deepest love, Reverend and Mrs. Stephen Burns. And then from Reverend Daryl McCoy, he said, Sister McCoy, the Experience Church, Sister McCoy and I had planned to join you with you today for the wonderful celebration and worship. We regret being unable to do so. I commend the great leadership of your pastor, having such vision to have led the congregation, revival, and sacrifice, to have made the Lord's sanctuary a beautiful but real sanctuary for many who are longing for life's refuge in a greatly troubled world. Today's celebration verily commemorates a wonderful congregation that has wholly sacrificed with and joined with their pastor and family by faith, borrowed the money, beautified the worship center of Jesus Christ, and embarked on a journey to evangelize a lost city. We salute your faithfulness in giving and sacrifice of retiring the mortgage of your beautiful facility for the cause of Christ, Daryl and Sherry McCoy. We're thankful for our Council of Elders today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want Brother Poe to come, and he's going to greet us here today. We're so delighted that he was able to join us in person. He'll be preaching in Nixa tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to have revival, so don't miss that. Amen.
Everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor, I thank you for the honor for being able to celebrate this occasion. And it's certainly worth noting, and whatever confetti comes down or wherever and all that mess, that's good. As I was sitting there reading or hearing those eloquent letters from two pastors that must have brilliant secretaries to write them. Amen. And knowing that I do not have a secretary, I thought myself foolish, wished you'd let me go first. But as East Texans say, man, it's going to feel good to not have to pay a bill. Amen. Y'all have a reason to celebrate. And I'm glad to be here with y'all to be able to retire, or I imagine it's already retired, or the banker wouldn't be here. They don't show up until they're paid. Excuse me, sis, I'm sorry. Forgot she's not a Pentecostal, don't know me. She's probably sitting up there clicking my face. He ain't never going to get no loan. But I just want to say a few things. With this type of leadership, which is getting more uncommon, you're blessed. You're blessed. And that's a good thing to have. Let me say it like this. I started to go political, but I won't. I want to talk about y'all for just a second. This debt retirement is because of y'all. Because if you hadn't give, and you hadn't sacrificed, and you hadn't had a commitment to this cause, he would have to borrow some more money. So I praise God for Brother and Sister McCoy and the leadership of the church, but I want to share with y'all how powerful y'all are. Because of y'all giving in these offering pans religiously every Sunday, every Wednesday, every service, when you could be out there buying stuff and spending on frivolous stuff, somewhere in your mind you're like, I got to have a church. And if I'm going to be part of a church, I'm going to be part of it financially too. That's why we're retiring the debt. Why don't you stand and give yourself a hand clap of honor? Because the Bible says honor where honor is due. That's due out there too. Amen. Be seated. I'm glad y'all are together. Used to be an old rock and roll, well, it's actually a little old song called We Are Family. All my brothers, sisters, and me. I see a few people aren't nodding their head because you didn't hear it. The rest of y'all was in that same group with me. Chantilly, I want you to stand for just a minute. Could you? 3 weeks ago, let me end like this. 3 weeks ago, a lady walked up here that had cancer in her stomach. She was already scheduled to go to surgery, and they had told her, you have a huge cancer that must be taken out. But in prayer was made in the church, and when they got in there, there was no cancer. No cancer. That's what kind of church we have decided to be in this hour and age. No cancer. Can you give God a little praise? I think we can do a little bit better than that. I'm talking about cancer. Something that they've got to put radiation and all that mess in. God said, I'm going to show them that I still have power over everything. That I can cure a cancer. I can cure a heart problem. I can cure disease. I'm the God of all.
Oh, praise the Lord. You may be seated. I got 3 minutes. I'll try and get done in 3 minutes. Got to get my little sheet of paper out. Now, Brother Paul was over there talking about we are family. That's Sister Slade. You know that? That's Sister Slade that sang that song. And they made it famous in 1979. So I think most of y'all in here weren't even born in 1979. He didn't think anybody knew anything about it. But I'm supposed to talk about the mortgage burning president, the financial side, and the board part. And I made a couple of notes. And let me get to hurry on so I can talk about I'm a Johnny come lately. The reason I said that is because Reverend McCarthy, Reverend Fletcher, Reverend Eddings, and Reverend James. See, the preparation for ending the mortgage began when somebody, the first person gave an offering and gave the tithe. That first drop in, I told somebody this morning, was the first brick. The first brick that was laid to get us where we are today. I'm just talking this morning, and you knew I'd get started. So I came along when we were at 901 Prospect. The church started as a home church. Then it moved to Missouri and Madison, Mill Street, then we were on 901 Prospect. Some of y'all remember, some of you don't. But we were there, then we reached a point where we had to look around for a new facility. We initially looked at two different possibilities. Some of you remember the property on Highway 13 that we later purchased. But the big thing that we look back on, we also looked at property at Chestnut and National. You know what RVS Bank is now? We, as a board and as a church, came together. We looked at it, and we did it a little bit different. We bought one piece of property. We bought another one. We bought another one. To reach the point that we own the corner. And we went over to the next street, and there was a little lady who was very difficult to work with. I'm just telling you that because it was. The other part that was difficult to work with at that moment was the city planning and zoning. You don't know much about that story, but we met with them multiple times with multiple different plans. And each time we presented something to them, they told us no. They kept telling us no and kept telling us no. So finally, we kept looking around, and the property became available here. It was owned at that time by Glendale Christian Church. You're amazed at how God worked, because they built a building on the other side of 65, or east side of 65. So that building was finished. So at that point, they still had this building. So we were able to purchase the building at less than what the initial asking cost was. And most of you who were here in the beginning remember the panel walls up here. Let me tell you, at that point, we were at a point where we would, I call it desperate, trying to pay the mortgage. Because at one time, the mortgage got up to $10,000 per month until we were able to pay certain things off. Then it dropped down to around $6,000. And later we were able to get it down as we sold the Highway 13 property. We eventually sold the property at Chestnut and National. The reason we are today is because, you know what? From that first brick laid, multiple more bricks were made. You look around and you see a brick wall built, but let me tell you something. That brick wall is made of each individual brick. Each person who came along made a contribution. What held it all together when you see a brick wall is the concrete in between the cement. Let me tell you what held everybody together here was the belief that a better day was coming. The belief that God was going to make a way when we couldn't see how we were going to pay the bills. When we didn't know what to do next, I can tell you one thing this morning. God is great, and God is greatly to be praised.
Like, you can be seated. Like Brother Wiggins, I also joined the game sometime there at 901 North Prospect on the north side of town, and just a little more of that same story, but adding some numbers along the way. You know, this isn't the first time that our church has been debt-free. Up there on North Prospect, we were debt-free in 2000, 01, 02, but the building was about a third this size. And we needed some more space, and we needed a lot of additional facilities, an event center, and more classrooms, and a bigger sanctuary. And so we were debt-free until, as he was telling you, we started acquiring all of the land on that city block there at Chestnut and National. And we bought land from OTC. They owned about a third of the block. We bought Walker Real Estate, had a little building there on that block. And then there was six or eight individual houses, and we kind of went down the street buying them one by one until we got to the last one or two that said, well, we're not selling for any price. and that made it tough. But in the process, we borrowed a bunch of money to buy all of that. And so with us buying, 90% of that city block, we had accumulated about $600,000 of debt for just raw land and houses that needed tore down. And that was before we even begun the process of building something. And so at the same time, as he mentioned, Glendale Christian had just completed a facility. This building became available, and they were asking $1.5 million for it that we didn't have, nor could we borrow because we were already in debt on something we couldn't even use. And so God worked it out. We were able to buy this facility for $950,000. And I know Ted Hamilton was a big part of that, borrowing money on this facility and that land and the old facility and juggling all the different assets to match it up with the liabilities and made it all work. Glendale Christian as well carried part of that note until some things sold. But as Brother Wiggins mentioned, when we moved in, we were about $1,512,000 in debt on a facility that we just paid $950 for, which is kind of backwards if you think about it. So, but that was about $10,000 a month on that payment. But as we sold some land and sold off that city block, and we in pretty short order, by 2006, we had gotten that debt down to $600,000. So that was a huge step. But frankly, it didn't move a whole lot after that. Over the next decade, we had paid off another $100,000 or so. But then Pastor McCoy came in 2015. We still owed $450,000 at that time. But within the first couple of years, he said, "Hey, I have a vision. We need a capital campaign to let's pay off our debt. Let's remodel this facility, the sanctuary and the foyer, and prepare ourselves for what the next chapter is. Lay that groundwork." So we began that campaign. We, in just a very short order, the last 7 or 8 years, we've paid off basically $600,000. We paid off $450,000 of principal, plus we paid interest along the way. So probably approaching $600,000 towards the debt. We also paid for probably $200,000 worth of remodeling in this sanctuary, in the foyer, the bathrooms, the screen, the chairs, everything that you see today, have been redone. There's been a number of miracles along the way, and I'm out of time, but we, have a number of testimonies of people who gave all and then showed up at work Monday morning and got a bonus check for twice what they had just given. And one family told me, we normally got tax refunds for $3,000 or $4,000. We had some things we needed, so we said, well, we need $2,000 for us, and everything beyond that we'll give to the church. Well, of course, then the tax refund ends up closer to $15,000. And God has a way of making the funds available for his work and his kingdom. And I'm so excited for the vision going forward. As Pastor said, we've been debt-free a few times now, and we may not stay that way, but I'm excited for the vision for the future.
I do want to read a scripture here today. If you would turn with me, we want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. I want to read verse 3 and 4. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not going to be long in preaching, but I want to talk to us about something here today. Here's the message I feel for this church. God, do it again. God, do it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you just be seated today? I feel like there's a message in this for us. King David, of course, he was one of the most popular biblical characters. He's certainly one of God's favorites. But when we read the story of David, the Bible, it does not try to hide his breakdowns and failures, but it just tells the truth. And in that example of this man, David, who had a heart after God's own heart, we see that God delights in working through human impossibilities. In the record of King David, we find ourselves looking into a mirror because we're reminded how many times we've failed. Our shortcomings are so great, but greater still is the faithfulness of God. And if God can use a man like David with all of his shortcomings, then hopefully God, surely God can use somebody like you and me with all the baggage that we come with, and God can make something good of it, and he gets the glory for it. We read for our text today, David was 30 years old when they anointed him over king of Israel, and he reigned for 40 years. But this anointing of David as king was actually the third anointing in his life. The first one took place when he was just a youth. Remember that? He was caring for his father's sheep. They had an important visitor come to the house, the prophet Samuel, but they just kind of forgot about David and left him out in the hills tending the sheep. How interesting that when they were thinking of a leader, they didn't even consider this boy, this shepherd. They totally overlooked him. Man overlooked him, but he was chosen by God. 1 Samuel 16:13 tells us, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. God recognized David and his potential before his family. He went on to conquer the giant Goliath and to become the beloved hero of the kingdom, but he also faced troubles. Persecution was ongoing with Saul, and Saul chased David for years, trying his best to kill him. Yes, David was anointed, but he still found himself hiding in caves and going without. He was hungry. He was hunted. It was as if he had been forsaken by God. But through it all, the Lord protected him and David's influence grew. Sometimes we look at the life we feel God has called us to, and maybe it hasn't turned out to be as perfect as what we thought it was going to be in the beginning, and we answered the call of God. We were excited with faith that we were going to serve the Lord with his kingdom and his will for our life, but then everything wasn't a bed of roses. And we get to wondering if maybe we missed it somewhere, the call and the anointing of God. But before we give up today, I want to encourage you, before you throw in the towel and quit following what God has led you to, remember David. And look into that mirror to where we see ourselves in his life. Through it all, God is faithful. Through it all, God is faithful. Amen. He brought him through, and God had a purpose in the valleys. He had a purpose in the caves. In being a hunted man, David developed into a man that was fit to be king. He developed into the anointing that God had placed upon him. The second anointing took place after King Saul's death. First, it was just the tribe of Judah that recognized David as God's choice. 2 Samuel 2:4 says, and the men of Judah came And there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. It would be another 7.5 years until David ruled over the throne of all of Israel. So what was going on? David was still in training. God was still developing him, growing him into the leader that he had called him to be. We are all constantly in training. At whatever level we're on in our walk with the Lord, we're all learning. We're all being continually developed. Hopefully, we're passing the tests that come to our life. Hopefully, we're growing through things. For David, each anointing, it brought new battles and new tests. Each anointing, though, brought more maturity and growth. And his leadership ability developed, and his anointing increased at each level. And then finally, all of Israel anoints David to be king. He's now 30 years of age. He'd come a long way. And you know, you'd think, well, surely now David has arrived, and now he can take it easy and enjoy all the blessings of God. But with each anointing came opposition. And once he was anointed as king over all of Israel, there was no time to take a break, but here come the Philistines against him. And once again, he finds himself fighting battles, going through conflict, tested by trials. I believe that someone here today, you may be looking at your life and taking inventory of where you're at, and you're thinking, you know, I've been at this a while. Why haven't I made more progress? Why aren't things easier? Why am I still fighting battles? Why are things still difficult? Remember the life of David. At each level, there were more enemies. There were more battles. There were more lessons to learn. But the anointing of God increased with every level. God was taking him higher and higher, but there's a price to be paid. And so we need to thank God today for the growth plan he has us on. Oh, what do you mean? Well, thank God for the trouble I'm going through. Yes. Thank God for the spiritual battle I'm in. Yes. Thank God for the fiery furnace experience. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But what if I'm facing an attack from the enemy that's meant to destroy me? When we stay close to Jesus, he takes those attacks and he turns them into milestones for us, stepping stones, levels up. Keep trusting in God. Keep being faithful. Keep following his will for your life. Years ago, I can remember going through one of my first spiritual battles to where I didn't know what in the world was going on and why I was so depressed and why I was struggling so much. And it just seemed like everything was not going well. And then I had this moment. It was like when I realized, hey, this is a spiritual battle. It was like 75% of the battle was over because I realized what was going on. And I can remember talking with my father about it, and he encouraged me, and he said, you're going to come through this. But then what he said, it has stuck with me. He said, you're going to come through this battle to fight another one. Oh, thanks, Dad, you know. I don't want to fight no more battles. Oh, you want to stop growing? You don't want any more of God's anointing? You've already seen every mountaintop. You've already experienced all the miracles that you're hungry to see. I've come to tell somebody today, you're going to come through this. You're going to come through this to fight again. God's still got greater things ahead. And he's using the battles. He's using the struggle. He's using the trials we hate so much to increase our anointing and our ability to do more for Him. God, do it again. When I think of this church, there's been level after level over the years. Toward the end of 1955, Eugene and Marilyn McCarthy moved to Springfield, started the First United Pentecostal Church in their home on East North Street. Over the next several years, they used various facilities to house the new church. 1956, they had a small storefront building, no restroom. Imagine that. Then they had a 30 by 40 foot concrete building at Scenic and Lauren, also no restroom. But they were growing, and lives were being changed. 1959, they purchased the First Methodist Church at Missouri and Madison. Up until that time, when somebody had to be baptized, they had to go down to the bank of the James River or the Sac River. That got a little old, especially during the wintertime, because we've heard the stories of how they used to have to clear the ice to baptize somebody in the precious saving name of Jesus Christ. But they were able to add a baptismal tank in that church at Missouri and Madison. Progress. Progress. I'm sure it seemed like very small steps at a time, but they were making big steps spiritually. And at every level, there were new spiritual battles to fight. There was sacrifice. It took blood and sweat and tears, and people gave and people worked and people prayed, and God kept on doing it again and again and again. In 1978, the church moved to West Mill Street, more progress. Then 901 North Prospect in 1981. Some of you remember those days. The church continued to grow. Even at that time, they had an ambitious remodeling program. It positioned the church for the future. In 1997, the church retired its mortgage at that time and celebrated their debt-free status with a mortgage-shredding ceremony. In 2004, we purchased this current facility. It was a great step forward. 4.5 acres, 22,500 square feet, 18 classrooms, a 3,000 square foot event center, and a sanctuary that seats 275. After being debt free then, they sacrificed greatly to make this next step. You sacrificed greatly, but at every level there's been prayer, there's been sacrifice, there's been spiritual battles, but there's been growth. Hallelujah. In 2018, we began the capital stewardship campaign called the Mission in Motion. We wanted to remodel our facility, pay off our debt, and prepare for future growth with whatever God has. The Mission in Motion promised to honor our past, to celebrate our present, and to promote the future. And so we honor what God has done. We honor those who have gone before us, every pastor, every saint, everyone who's had a part in all of this, in bringing us to where we are today. But we're building on our past. We're not just staying in the past. We're not content for just what God has done, but we're celebrating the present. Thank God for what He's doing. Thank God for the many lives that are touched by His Spirit every single week. And there's more. More victories, more revival, more sacrifice, yes, but more expansion, more prayers to come as we promote the future of God that God has for this church. What does the future look like for the Experienced Church? Only God knows the full plan. But with this monumental milestone, we're not looking to sit back and relax. It's not time to take it easy. This is a great accomplishment, but it's just another step. It's just another level. And we realize there's more, and so today we're asking that God would do it again. Hallelujah. God, do it again. Take us forward again. Work a miracle again. Heal again, Lord. Deliver again, oh God. Make a way again, Lord. Save somebody again, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand and let's just pray that today. Lord, we ask that you would do it again. We ask that you would move again. We ask that you would honor us with your glory and your presence in this house again. We ask that you would deliver someone here today again. Lord, I ask that you would heal somebody from the inside out again. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and the glory. We give you the honor, Jesus. Lord, do it again. Do it again.